Seven wolves west of the Cascades in Oregon does not amount to a population boom, but it is seven more wolves than lived in the region just a couple of years ago. And with the high probability that migrating and reproducing wolves will add to their numbers, Jackson County commissioners are talking about some possible responses. This week, commissioners will consider the creation of a wolf depredation committee, which would consider things like whether to repay ranchers who lost livestock to wolf attacks. Let's talk to someone familiar with wolves and such committees. Rob Clavins is the Northeast Oregon Field Coordinator for Oregon Wild and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure. Appreciate the opportunity.
Tell us about the work you and your group have done on wolf recovery.
Well, it's been a fair bit. I'm actually based out in northeastern Oregon, where wolf recovery in Oregon really started, and still most of Oregon's 64 or so known adult wolves live. And a lot of our efforts have been at education and conservation, generally speaking. Having wolves back on the landscape, there's certainly a learning curve. Prior to 1947, we were shooting them. After 1947, we didn't have any. And so there's been a big learning curve for everyone from the agencies in charge of managing wildlife for all Oregonians to the livestock industry and citizens who have varying feelings about wolves, most of whom are excited to have them back. So that education is a key piece. But unfortunately, a lot of it has also been focusing on busting old myths and fears of wolves that seem to so often dominate the conversation and have been the impetus for a lot of the attacks on protections for wolves and other wildlife as well. So it's certainly been made for an interesting last couple of years in Wallowa County. And as wolves make their way across the state and recovery continues to take hold, those conversations are starting in new places. And that's a good thing. We can avoid some of the mistakes that we've made and hopefully focus on the things that have worked. And hopefully that will be what the conversation is in western Oregon and as wolves make their way down into California as well.
I was going to ask you about some of the historical dates here. So 1947 was the last time somebody shot a wolf in eastern Oregon?
Well, the last time, we always kind of use that date. It was the last date for which a wolf bounty was collected for a wolf that was killed near the Rogue Umpqua Divide. There may have been wolves in Oregon after that time, but for all intents and purposes, that's the date that we kind of all use for when wolves were extirpated from the state. And then there were a few that maybe were here. There were two that were reported killed in the 60s and 70s in eastern Oregon, but those may have been dispersers like OR7 coming from other places. So it wasn't until the late 90s that the first wolf made its way into Oregon, and it's taken the better part of a decade for recovery to really start to take hold. And we've got all this great news of new packs in western Oregon, but we still got a long way to go until we really have a recovery that is meaningful and sustainable in the long term. So I think it's important that we continue to prioritize conservation.
I see the guesses are that when the wolf census is completed by March, that Oregon Fish and Wildlife will say maybe 80, 90 wolves in Oregon, maybe as many as 100. When we talk about full-blown recovery, is it a much, much higher number?
It's hard to say. Certainly the landscape has changed in the last 70 years and in the last 150 years when there were lots of wolves in Oregon. There's not a whole lot of peer-reviewed science on what the recovery number looks like, but it's certainly more than what we have now. If you're looking for to get beyond the political and social compromises we make and instead look at the real science, the numbers I've seen are somewhere upward of 1,000 wolves that the state could support based on the prey base we currently have. We've got a long way to go from there, and I don't know if that's the number that ultimately we will all agree is when we can declare mission accomplished. But when we've got 60 to 100 wolves in the state, that's certainly a long way from that recovery. And I think if we were looking at elk numbers or some other species of animal and talking about a number in the dozens, we'd still be focused on conservation. So I don't know exactly what that number will be, but I think we can look to science to inform what a real recovery really is.
Rob Clavins, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Northeast Oregon Field Coordinator for Oregon Wild. We're talking about the concept of wolf depredation committees, which Jackson County is considering. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email if you'd like to join. There are existing wolf depredation committees in parts of eastern Oregon now?
Yes, there are. And originally, when Oregon put together its wolf plan in 2005, it contemplated having a compensation program like this. But it required some legislative approval, and there was opposition by folks in the livestock industry to any plan that had conservation as a part of it, which meant that the plan was opposed in part and in whole in front of the legislature. So it wasn't until 2011 that we finally had a state-sponsored compensation program. When wolves were delisted from the federal endangered species list in eastern Oregon, the conservation group Defenders of Wildlife, which had been providing compensation in the Northern Rockies region, which includes eastern Oregon, that program went away, and suddenly there was a big push to get a compensation program in the state. We're generally supportive of a program that serves as a transitional tool for responsible ranchers that want to readjust to the reality of having wolves back on the landscape. There are some parts of our program that, parts of it work really well, and it got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but has generally worked pretty well. We're also starting to see some problems with the program as well. It's certainly, something that exists for now while we have wolves on the state endangered species list, and certainly some lessons that we can learn from the experience in eastern Oregon.
So this is state money that filters through these committees that allows the repayment to farmers or ranchers who lose livestock through wolf depredation?
Yeah, unless I get too far into the weeds, the Oregon Department of Agriculture is in charge of the program. There are county committees that are set up that are basically citizen committees that look at requests from livestock operators when they have claims of depredation. They look at those claims as well as for money for non-lethal conflict prevention, which is a part of that program as well. And then from there, they approve and submit requests to the Oregon Department of Agriculture, who then looks at those and distributes the money back to the committees, who then give it to the pre-approved folks who have made those claims.
Non-lethal conflict prevention?
Yeah, so and I've been listening to some of the wolf shows you've done over the last couple weeks, and that's been made reference to a few times. There's certainly the old easy way of solving depredations, which is just kill all the wolves, poison them, shoot them, trap them, pick up the gun. And that may be cathartic, but what we're seeing and science is telling us is that can actually make a lot of the problems worse. But there are non-lethal measures that can be used to prevent conflict, to reduce depredations. It's important to do it right, sort of like having a bad compensation program is worse than no program at all. Doing some of these non-lethal measures in the wrong way can make problems worse. But we have some really good examples in places like Idaho, like the Wood River Valley, where a focused, concerted, earnest effort at preventing the conflict can work a whole lot better than killing wolves, even if it takes a little bit more work and may not have that same level of catharsis of just blasting a wolf. It can really work. There are people who may, at times sort of poo-poo it, because there is definitely, wolves eat meat. That's what they do, and occasionally livestock are lost. But I think it's better to try to focus on preventing a problem rather than having to pay for it.
So what kinds of measures are we talking about here? Are we talking bigger fences? Are we talking dogs? Are we talking a combination of things?
It is usually a combination of things, and what works in one place may not be the right thing for another operation. What works for sheep may not work for cattle, and so it's important to be doing it right. One of the major ones is simply having a greater human presence. If you're simply turning livestock loose for months at a time without checking on them, they're likely going to die from all sorts of causes. We talk about the depredations from wolves, but the reality is wolves are killed five. There were five confirmed losses of cows to wolves in the last calendar year. The last year for which we have federal statistics, 55,000 died before they made it to the slaughterhouse from weather, disease, human thieves, all sorts of things. And so having a human presence doesn't just reduce depredations to wolves and other native predators, but all those other causes likely as well. So human presence is a major one. Fencing can be one. Changing herd structure, not turning out calves when they're too small, making sure that calving operations are close to human presence. In some cases, livestock, guardian dogs, fencing, all of those sorts of things can be part of the solution. And one of the most simple ones is actually simply burying carcasses, disposing of carcasses appropriately. You know, as I said, prior to 1947, it was really easy to deal with wolves. They were just shot and killed. After 1947, we didn't have any wolves. So there's certainly a learning curve as wolves make their way back on the landscape, and some adjustments may have to be made to how livestock operations are taken on. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all agree that having healthy, abundant populations of native wildlife is an important thing, and folks who are sharing the landscape with wolves and other wildlife have a responsibility to coexist in the best way that we can.
We have an email here from Jay from McKenzie, I believe is what he's telling us. He says, should we also compensate the farmers for the inconvenient water controls that those pesky indigenous salmon and wildlife cause? Who was here first? Balanced ecosystems, Pilgrim. And from Jay.
Sounds like a rhetorical question.
Yes.
and you won't be surprised to hear that I'm sympathetic to that for sure. You know, I think that's one of the things that we hear a lot is, you know, wolves are this new thing, or wolves are something that are this big problem. We don't talk about the positive impacts of wolves nearly often enough. Wolves are a native species, and I think most Oregonians and most Americans value native wildlife, and we're excited when OR7 returned to western Oregon and wolves have begun to retake their rightful place in the landscape. And so, you know, again, I don't think living with native wildlife is an onerous burden. I think it's a responsibility that we all share, whether we're lucky enough to live in a place like Wallowa County or the great state of Jefferson, or if we're sort of stuck here in you know, in the city of Portland or something like that. But I think it's something that we all value and appreciate and should make an effort to make room in our hearts and on the landscape for wolves like OR7.
So, Rob Clavins, how would you recommend any local government, if it was asking, that it approach the issue of depredation committees?
Yeah, you know, and again, I think it's important that folks are getting ahead of the curve and thinking ahead. I also hope people are as focused on preventing the problems as they are for paying for them. And with the experience we've had, you know, I think the overall program has some real pros and cons in Oregon. One of the most important things is to make sure that the programs have full representation, that it's not just a forum for people who hate wolves or just a forum for people who love wolves, that it actually has full representation and oversight. Some of the bad compensation programs we've seen in other places, a few bad actors can really spoil it. They can be making specious claims, and if those compensation committees give into that and provide that platform for debating the politics about wolves, it causes a lot more problems than it solves. And again, these programs actually have, on the state in Oregon's program, we have a requirement that some of that money is spent on non-lethal. And, you know, at the end of the day, I guess I'm beating the dead horse here a little, but it's better to prevent a problem rather than to pay for it. And I think that to the extent these programs are focused on that, especially in the early stages of wolf recovery, that's going to set us up for a much better long-term success than simply just paying for a problem.
If you've been listening to our recent shows on wolves, you know I've asked this question of other people as well, but I'm a little surprised to see the depictions of wolves in the cultural touchstones of the movie Frozen and the recent Budweiser Super Bowl ad depict wolves once again as these snarling, threatening things that might attack unprovoked. Are you surprised that the cultural representations have kind of switched back to that?
You know, I don't know that they ever went away from it. You know, it's something that it's been with us for a very long time, and there's certainly a counter-narrative to that. There are a lot of people who see wolves as the symbol of freedom and the American West and conservation. It's this great conservation success story. OR7, for a lot of people, is a great symbol of what we can do right and get. You know, we made a mistake, and it's a sort of our opportunity for redemption. We're trying to get it right, and we've given wolves a second chance, and it's important that we get it right. But the reality is, you know, as I say, the conversation is so often driven by unnecessary conflict and controversy. And, you know, even the compensation program is another place where, again, we're talking about the five cows that were killed by wolves in Oregon last year. We're not talking about the 360 other days of the year when wolves were simply going about their business and not getting themselves into trouble, when they were providing economic opportunity, ecological health on the landscape. And that's a big part of the story that very rarely gets told, whereas, you know, certainly the snarling big bad wolf is an easy place to kind of revert to.
We will see what Jackson County Commissioners decide. They'll meet on this on Thursday. Rob Clavins is the Northeast Oregon Field Coordinator for Oregon Wild. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Appreciate it.
Good to have you.